everybody. This is Terry Green. Welcome to the Green Room, and I'm so excited to have my first studio guest for the series is Mr. Anthony Freeman. Welcome, Anthony.
Thank you.
You call yourself Ski. That's what we call you. And welcome to the Green Room.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
I thought it was important since we've spent more than 30 years as friends. The music business, there's just a lot going on with us, and no one really knows exactly what we do, how we did it, why we did it, and why we came to Europe, and why we survived Europe. So, you know, there's more. So, first of all, before we get into anything, I want you to give me a little backdrop on childhood, growing up, people you knew growing up, and how you became younger Anthony Freeman.
I'm from Long Island, New York.
Strong Island
in the building.
What's wrong with, why do you call it Strong Island?
Because that's what it is. Strong Island's in the
building. Well, you know, I lived in Manhattan, and I don't remember that being an important
thing. You know what? See, and that's the problem right there. See, everybody in the other boroughs is always talking about. Everybody in the other boroughs always thinking that Long Island is, when you mention Long Island, they always think about
neighborhoods there.
So does Queens. But everybody be thinking that L.I. got like.
So what was it like your neighborhood growing up, if you could be as candid as possible?
The thing is, I'm from Amityville, right?
Was that like the horror house?
That's exactly where the horror house was.
Wow, so you knew that. Was that a real house?
It's a real house.
So you grew up in Amityville, New York?
I've seen the house a lot of times. But the point is, Amityville, the Long Island got a hood, just like every other borough. So people think don't understand that Long Island is...
Well, I know you 30 years, I know what it is.
Long Island is just as... has its parts that are just as hoodish as, you know, anywhere else. So, and that's basically the point. I mean, even where I grew up, you know what I'm saying?
So you grew up, yeah. But I think for people of color, black people, Latinos, we always have worn our street credibility with a badge of honor, because it just kind of meant you don't take shit and you just do what you have to do. And New Yorkers specifically, they have their own culture.
Yeah, New York is a different animal. But I'll tell you now, there was no other place that I would have rather grew up in. Because New York New York is just
that place. I can't get my son out of New York, so something must be going on. Hey. He has about $1 left after his paycheck.
It don't matter. New York is that spot. Yeah. I mean, yo, don't. Get me wrong, big up to everybody in Cali, big up to everybody in Atlanta and everywhere else, you know what I'm saying? But for me, New York is that spot.
Yeah. I mean, I know that my cousins in Harlem.
Them uptowns.
They are wearing Air Force Ones.
Them uptowns.
400 pairs. I remember between Timberlands and Air Force Ones, I never seen so many shoes in an apartment. So I had to catch up with that. Shout out to my cousin Lisa, who I used to hang out with in Harlem, staying over. But,
you already know what my shoe game looked like.
I do, and it's ridiculous. I'm telling you, why you don't sell the sneakers?
You know what my shoe game looked like.
But we're going to get into that later with the sneaker thing. But, again, Amityville, growing up, I know you grew up with De La Soul before they were De La Soul. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, actually, I grew up living right across the street from Paul Houston, Prince Paul, the original producer from De La. And, we've been friends since, like, the seventh grade, something like that, sixth grade, something
no
like that.
There were no Prince Paul back
there
then.
There was no Prince Paul. Yeah. It was, you know. But, we've been really good friends since we were children. And the same is with the rest of De La. Right. We've all been good friends for a very long time. Me and Mace was before De La were put together. Me and Mace were in a group together. Mace is the DJ from De La. Mm-hmm. And me and him were together in a group. And then...
So you actually were rapping with De La Soul?
Yeah.
So you could have been a part of the group?
Yeah. I guess I could have. Yeah. Whatever way you want to put it.
I mean, first we got to take a second just to shout out Dave and his family. And just say... Before I ever met you, I met De La through you, but the band was just phenomenally part of the legendary history of hip hop.
Yeah, definitely.
I was honored to just hang out for a few minutes because I was one of those, me, myself, and I mean, they were badass. So, you know, to know you and to have that connection, just to meet someone who's been there solid for decades is...
I won't even go into the to the whole situation about Dave, but I will say this. Dave, you are truly missed, bruh. And you were a good friend, bruh. And I remember when I needed some lyrics, bruh, you know what I'm saying, for a song, I remember you you immediately sent them to me, man, all the way here in Germany. And I always appreciate you doing that, bro. I appreciate it to my very core. And like I said, you will always be missed, bro. And long live the other two brothers from De La, Mace and Merce. Man, I love y'all to death. So keep doing y'all. And like I said, again, Prince Paul, yo, you my brother. You know that. So it is what it is. L.I.
Okay, the L.I. on the end of was, yeah. Yeah, that's a lot. I don't think I've ever heard you... I mean, I'm looking at your face, and you have emotion. You're very quiet, very laid-back dude, but I can see that you felt for these guys. And, you know, you lost a friend, and the industry lost a legend.
Absolutely.
We won't, you know, go too much deeper into that, but I just want to say that your career has lasted about 25, 30 years in Germany. So jump a little bit into... How did we meet? Because that's what I want to know. Inquirer minds want to know. How did you meet Miss TT?
We were both in a place called Kaiserslautern, Germany.
K-Town. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you were begging me for a record deal?
Get out of here. Whatever. And a friend of mine, Carlos, who was... Was he in your group?
No, Crazy knew him.
We have a friend named Crazy.
Which is the craziest the word says.
But that's my dude.
And when Crazy mentioned he knew a singer that we should maybe try to bring on the Terry mm-hmm. stuff. And so when I was doing house and dance music back then. And yeah, he brought Carlos. And then Carlos said, I got a friend.
Yeah,
and I think that's how I met you.
Yeah, that's exactly how
and
that happened.
And at one point, I listened to him sing. You know, he's a cousin of Keith Washington. Mm-hmm. I was like, you shouldn't be my backup singer. You need to have your own record deal.
And yeah, this dude is bad.
And then the
bad.
Next thing, I met Tony Couture from Fun Factor. Mm-hmm. Was in a restaurant one night. The night I got electrocuted by this idiot telling me to grab these two poles, and I did it. And I almost killed my damn self. And Tony was at the table, and I said, you need to check this cat out. And he gave him his number, and then the rest is what happened after that.
Actually, what it was is
the Jonestown is still famous in the UK. Like, people love that record.
What happened was we came up here to Hamburg to Studio 33 because of a hookup. Yeah, the Modern Talking producer. Because of a hookup that you
did
had.
Did we even know what Modern Talking was?
No,
everybody
I didn't.
Was mad at us in Germany, and we never heard of it. Dieter Bohlen was standing in my face going, do you know me? I'm like, no, I've never heard of this group, so sorry.
But because of the hookup from you, we had ended up coming up here, and things didn't work out in 33, so Actually that night, we were going back to Kaiserslautern, and Carlos was like, yo, let's go see this dude, Tony Couture. And we went over there.
Reach him anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we went over there. We got hooked up with him, and the rest of that is history, you know.
Wow.
It is what it is.
And so you guys, Jonestown had, you did, you guys hung out with, Puffy, but actually he was in Germany.
No,
was
actually.
Signing the Bad Boys.
When he was here, we did hang out with him. And J-Lo.
Yeah.
And as she was here. Yeah, I mean, but you know, that all came about through Tony Couture had something to do with doing one of the tours over here that Puffy had did.
For Bad Boy. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, he was really in good with Puff because that's like you said, At one particular point in time, they were even talking about doing a Bad Boy Europe here in Germany, and Tony was supposed to be in charge of that.
Bad Boy thing, and I don't want to be scandal.
Nope.
What I will say is this, and as an adult person, as a parent, as a African-American musician, my interest in people's personal life is getting very, very reduced in how I follow all of that. And the chips fall where the chips may, but it's not entertaining for me to see people go through stuff. It never has been, never will be. And I just think people, it's entertaining for us to watch people go through drama. You know, you will pay the price for the things you do or did not do and things like that. But I just think that it's become just entertainment.
I will say Puffy is a grown man.
Right.
And Puffy's choice to do whatever he decides to do is his business. It's nobody else's business. Whether or not it had something to do with anyone underage or something like that, that's a total different story. But with all of that out of the way, if it's only about adults consenting to do what adults want to do, that's his business.
Right.
Ain't nobody else's business. So they shouldn't even have a say in what he's, you know,
and like I
what
said,
he's doing.
I knew
so
Kim,
it is what it is.
Through Chaz, our friend, mutual friend, and I will say that the children were lovely. I know Quincy, and Kim was lovely. She was like a beautiful, beautiful human being. So I just hope her children are good. So for me, it's not funny to watch any of this. It's like moving on, you know. I don't talk on it too much. I will say just we were talking about Bad Boy, but dude has done some incredible records. Well, you know, the music business is a monster where everybody want to get on. You remember when we wanted to get on? We wanted to get on, and then once you're on, you realize maybe the deal wasn't good as you should have had it, or you have made some choices you shouldn't have made. But I made every choice I made as an adult.
Absolutely.
So if I took 1 point or seven, that's on me.
Absolutely.
So 30 years later, if I'm talking about I didn't get, you could have walked away in the beginning. That's my thing I say to people.
I mean,
you didn't have to stay.
It's always also hindsight. about your ability to know the knowledge of the record business, because that's exactly what it is. Record business.
Big ass word, business.
So if you don't know the business, and a lot of us came into it without knowing the business, we just knew that we wanted to be where we saw other people at. Right.
And it's no different from working in casino business, working in used car sales.
Business is business.
You will get ripped if you don't know the business. So
simple as that.
As much as we want to be spoon-fed information, now young people today, they actually have the internet. You can look publishing up. You know, we learned all that.
They have the internet, but they also have the wisdom of the people who came before them. True. So noticing the people that came before them, how they suffered a certain situation.
For us.
No. But, you know, because it's working for them because of, like you just said, the internet and things like that. It didn't work for us because we ain't had no internet. So we ain't know.
We have to look at the
stories. We ain't know what Marvin Gaye was going through and this and that. You know what I'm saying? No.
We only heard the stories.
We heard the stories after, afterwards. Right. You know, so we heard the stories afterwards. These kids these days are hearing the stories as they happen. You know what I'm saying? So they know exactly what to avoid.
Right.
So
what are you doing now? How did you get from K-Town to Hamburg? We know. But so how have you lasted this long?
You
look relatively young.
Lasted this long. Stop it. I've lasted this long, I guess, because of a tenacity to keep doing this music thing. It's always been a passion since New York. So coming up here and getting into what I do right now is I do I'm in a group called Fun Factory.
They're top 10, I think, in the U.S. or top 20
back
in the day. I was a fan. I don't know if you were a fan of "Go, Baby, Talk to Me." Yeah, that was my choice. Because I like Eurodance. Most of the people singing it didn't like it. I loved it. I love Eurodance. I love country. You know me. Y'all almost were always picking on me for being so crazy. But I'm owning it. Like, I listen to the Eagles and the Carpenters on Saturday. Yeah.
Shout out to the rest of the crew.
Yeah.
Shout out to Balja, Tony, and Steve. Y'all know what it is.
Yeah. But you keep fit, man. Y'all got to be out there doing dance routines at 50. I'm like, whoa, that's yeah. hot.
We do what we do.
And so you also work with one of Germany's biggest artists,
Alex Christensen.
Alex Christensen, yes. You're on tour. People see you on TV. Major TV shows doing, yeah. you know, featured rapping.
We've done things with Anastasia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that has kept me in the game is not only the fact that I'm able to, you know, go out here and do these shows and do things like that, but it's also the writing. Right. You know, so I'm able to write for other artists. So that helps as well.
That's kind of what we both did as a major part of our career.
And that's
we weren't did. Really artists in the beginning. We were, but you gave me also the hook. I mean, you can talk about how we did that, but how did I get on the Sarah Connor record? Because I don't know how I got in the studio. Because she's Germany's biggest female singer.
Sarah Connor. First of all, shout out to Sarah. That's my girl. What happened is we were in the studio, me and Bulent Aries. Shout out to Bulo. We were in the studio doing some songs for the album for her. Mm-hmm. And it just happened to come to me that I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. My girl write too. And she, you know, and when we write together, we come up with dope songs. You know what I'm saying?
You steal my lyrics, but we'll talk about that.
Whatever. Whatever.
My mom's suing you. Right now. Get some glitter and gold. She's still trying to sue.
Yeah. Whatever. So yeah, I was like, yo, when we come together, we write dope songs. So I was like, yo, Beulah, we should get Terry to come into the studio and see if we can write a song for Sarah as well. Yeah. And that's how it came about. Then I call you up, hit you up, come in the studio.
Yeah, I'm really grateful. Thank you. It was a really good highlight. It was a great highlight in my career, not a good one. It was a great chance for me. It gave me credibility as a writer. I just say thank you.
I mean, but come on, you had credibility as a writer beforehand.
I did, but you know, as time went on, she got more famous even than she was. So
absolutely.
People now look at it and go, you wrote for her. And I'm like, yeah, but we wrote for, you know, I've had 1,000 singles. People are like, no, you didn't. Yeah, like Avicii's first big remix was my original song. Mm-hmm. So we have stuff like that in our career where you're not going to think some black folks sitting over in Hamburg actually did anything that's global, but we really were involved in a global music business. Your father, I think the most important job you've ever done is be a good dad. I've watched you be a great dad to your kids. What's been the toughest thing being an artist and being a parent?
Having to miss certain things while you're on the road and when you have to, like, my kids still live in Kaiserslautern. Right. And having to come back then, right. having to, when they were younger, having to come up here or other places to go into studios or being on tour, right. and having to tour all around and missing a lot of their growing up. That yeah. is the hardest part. Yeah. And I regret that every day.
Yeah. I feel you. And, you know, I have a son and he, you know, a lot of therapy. We made it through.
What's up, Brandon?
Yeah. But, you know, he's a designer in New York and he got a lot to say about everything. But the one thing if I could go back in time, I would take a rug or a blanket and I just sit and look at him. Because I miss him being small.
I understand that. Me too. Yeah. So before we finish that, so let me just look into this camera and say, Aaron, Taji, Sarah, your dad loves y'all. Y'all know that. All right, let's get it. We can keep going.
Did some old black folk come trying to.
Yo, that's you know.
No, I mean that's love, and I love. Not every dad is like you, so your kids got to know what they got in having you for a father. Finish up one more section of the podcast, I wanted to ask you, what's next? Like, what do you still want to do that you have not done? And don't say, move back to the States, because I don't know. I don't think you're going back to the States.
Not no time soon. But what I would really love to do is do a solo R&B album.
Yep.
I would love to do a solo R&B album. I don't understand
why you're not bringing Sweet Thing back out. Sweet Thing, my love, such a sweet thing. I'm a kind of late. I can't rap though, so I had a rap record. Don't try to. You know I got bars.
I know you got skills. I know you got skills.
I forgot the text.
I know you got skills.
I knew your whole rap. Yeah, we got to show that video. That was a great video. It looked just like one of those Bad Boy videos. I think that was the idea.
I think that was the idea.
Look at you too.
I think that Jonestown was the idea. Unfortunately, yeah, but it wasn't my idea.
But Jonestown was this group, and it was called Sweet Thing. It was a big hit. UK is still playing it.
Sweet Thing, my loving is a sweet. Hey, lady. Oh, man,
these drinks must be getting this.
Whatever.
This dude. Shout out to my Sauras at Delta Sigma Theta. I love y'all. Hey. I got to get hooked up with LA, man. They're having a good time. Congratulations to my Sara. I won't put her name on blast on the podcast. She's now managing Tyler, and Tyler is really blown up. So we're doing big things in the Delta world, but we are the Divine Nine, they call it, which is all the Greek sororities, and it doesn't make you more or less or whatever. You know, we just support each other, support Black culture, Black people. I went to HBCU, Historically Black College and University, mm-hmm. and I can assure you that it is way more fun than going to other schools. And people, everybody tried to go. They used to think we had a lesser education back in the day. No, we didn't.
I just had more fun, huh?
We had way more fun. Every night was Mad Dog 2020. Oh, you remember
Lord.
That?
I used to do.
You ever had Mad Dog 2020?
Yo, I drunk that.
The next show.
Excuse me, I almost said that. I drunk that stuff while I was in when I was in AIT. In
what's AIT?
In the military. That's the.
Oh, you school. Were a soldier. I forgot that you were a soldier.
A school in military. Yes, I did a couple of years in a couple. I did like almost 9 years in the military, and yeah, we had some. When I was at school, it was a weekend, so we was off, and it was the first time. Like one of my boys, Gil, he had brought some daggone because we was in Georgia anyway. So, and he was already country. He was from Georgia. And he
you
brought me.
You say Georgia's country?
Yeah, Georgia's country. Georgia's country. But, I'm not going to say all of it. I'm you know, like,
I know what you mean,
like Augusta you mean. And yeah. Things like that. You know, hey,
You're from Augusta.
Hey, my mom is from Augusta. So it is what it is. I've been down there all the time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. But my point is, I had never had no Mad Dog 2020. He knew exactly what it was. He went and bought some, brought it back to the daggone barracks, man. Oh, my God. I couldn't even get up the next morning.
Just a little educational tool. Mad Dog 2020 is the most hardcore, pure. You just drinking rubbing alcohol. You're drinking rubbing alcohol.
That's what you're drinking.
With color in it. And that's what the wino's drinking when I walk down in Tallahassee, when I would be going to the store, somebody be going, "Hey, girl, come over. Let me tighten up on the panty." They just saying stuff like that with a bottle of Mad Dog. So that's what Mad Dog do to you. Wow. Anyway, we're not advertising Mad Dog. We just saying, yo. But
Mad Dog is some rock gut stuff. You do not want to drink that.
Ski anything. Anyway, I just want to say thank you for being a part of my career.
It's always a pleasure.
You write a lot of songs.
Absolutely.
You write a lot of freaky songs, too. I just want to put that out there. Your songs always be about sex, and I don't get... That's a whole other episode that we got to talk about.
That's a whole other episode. Yeah,
but, I mean, I guess that's Black men in America. Might be African men, too. I have to...
Yo, it's... For me, R&B songs are about that sensual thing. You know what I'm saying? It's
now,
always.
We could go dirt. Now, do you think Black folks have a specific.
Oh, Lord.
Now, I'm just trying to get to the good.
Oh,
why
Lord.
Why do Black folks like to talk about it?
Because Black folk are sensual. Sensual folk.
Yeah. And you think other people aren't sensual?
Other people are sensual, but other people ain't sensual. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Oh, we might have to cut this out. We about to be
it's crazy.
Lord, help me, Jesus Christ.
It's crazy.
Anyway, Ski, I want to thank you. This flowed like butter. what flows? Butter don't really flow.
Butter don't. It don't really
flow like syrup. No. Syrup.
It's syrup.
Wait,
syrup flows.
Syrup flows. Yeah. But I want to say thank you because I couldn't imagine not the reason I wanted to do this is to highlight my incredible friends, all the stuff that we've done in our careers where people, some of us could be in Guinness Book of World Records for the things we've achieved and come into country where we didn't speak the language. We speak German now, but we didn't when we got there. And I think that people are curious about how we did it. And I get asked all the time. So just like all the Shay Shays and Kikis and BBs, I just decided, let's just do it our own, you know, do it on our own. And
I still get asked, why are we still doing it?
Ooh, who asked you that?
No, really. No. It's because people ask me. Please.
Your knees hurt when you dance.
Please. Please. People ask me, why are we here? Because of the situation.
They do ask
as me that. They be like, yo, why are you not back in New York doing this? Why are you not in LA doing this? Why are we not?
I think it was easier for us being very unique in the environment versus you with 75,000 other rappers in New York. I think you got a quicker look.
I think it's easier to maintain it over here. It's much easier to maintain it.
The club talking about, put your hands
and,
up in the air.
And this is what I'm saying.
I should be out of the club by now. Me, David Guetta, all of us have been still in the club. Our kids are doing parties, and they're 25 now, and we're still in the club talking about.
It is what it is, though.
So shout out, first of all, congratulations to Crystal Waters, who is, we've been in it a minute, and she's doing her first modeling contract at this point.
Her first what?
Modeling contract.
Wow. She's got a modeling contract in New York.
So these are the things that are happening. Shout out to the Weather Girls. We got a project called The Soul Machine that's coming, where I'll be featuring some American musicians.
What's up,
and
D?
The Weather Girls, for Donnell Rose, my best BFF. She's going to kick off with her single Super Love real soon. So all of that's going on. My radio show, The House Crunch, is going on still since 2008. You know, I've been doing that crap since. Actually, my friend here, Shirley, his wife, the Basement 34, his wife, she was the original consolidator of the show for me. So we barely could keep it running because I was a mess. But we did it, and it's lasted. So now we have stations all over the world. And
that's what's up.
That's why I haven't kind of stopped it. But thank you, Ski.
Thank you for having me.
And cheers, man. Let's get that cheers in.
Absolutely. Oops.
You're gonna make it a mess up in
here. You know what it is. So, thank you for having me here. Shout out to, you know what? I'm going to do it like the black folk do it. You know, hey, yo, bruh, shout out to, yo, I'm going to say shout out to my man Carlos for, you know, holding us down when we was doing Jonestown. Shout out to my man Crazy, for sure.
And a special thank you to Basement 34, my host and coordinator and director and producer. Appreciate you. And I hope to see you guys for the next episode.